But what I was starting to see with that is when they're pushing us into this, they're taking away. I don't have a problem with technology. If you like it and that's for you, fine. But if I don't want to use it, you're now forcing me into using it. If I like physically going and paying my bills in cash, you're telling me I can no longer do that. You're forcing me to have to do it online. That this is what they're doing. And especially the older generation, when you look at like my parents that are 80, and you're telling, you know, my mother who does not have a computer, that there's certain things that she can only do online. Now I have to do it for her. And that's another thing. That's what they count on. Other people or family members will have to step in because you can't do it. Well, what about the people that don't have that? That don't have the family that can step in and help? I watched an elderly couple.
I don't care about
a while ago at LabCorp. They have installed a kiosk where you go into the kiosk and then you put your license and it reads your license. And
then you got to flip it over and you got to do all this stuff.
Right, right. Well, there were women sitting at that desk. And there was an old couple. I have to say they had to be in their 80s. Two cute little white haired couple. These poor things were struggling. They didn't know what they were doing.
You know those women didn't come out and help.
Oh, hell no.
We're behind the plexiglass. We can't break the barrier.
Yeah. You know I helped them. You know I helped them and cursed everybody under my damn breath. Because when I see that, you know, I think of my parents. And I worked with the elderly, God, when I was in ophthalmology. Like I said, last year, what they were doing was criminal. Because when I worked in South Philly in ophthalmology, and you had these little old couples come in, husband and wife, okay, they went everywhere together.
Yeah, that's peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter and jelly, yeah. And one was always stronger than the other when it came to healthcare. So they were the eyes and the ears and the understanding of it all. And now you're saying no, Mrs. So and So, your husband can't come in here.
It's a scandal. I just had this. We just talked about this.
Criminal.
My wife said, they don't understand. If I don't go in with you, it's that's like, right. You might as well stay at home because we're not going to get a... She said, the last time I went in with you, the doctor told you you had cancer. If you came home and told me that, I would have said, you're so full of shit. You're just trying to get out of fucking doing something with your cancer shtick. So well, she again, has to come in with me. She's like my medical... She's my medical conscience.
She's your medical henchman, where she's going to lay down the law.
Yeah, she'll like, do
they
that
try
too.
That.
You know what I did last time? I went in to see a cardiologist because my doctor's like, dude, you've been working too hard. Go see the cardiologist. There's something wrong. Picked up something wrong or something. I said, all right. And so I went in there and they said, they send you all this stuff. You can't have anybody with you and all this stuff. I said, cool. So I went in there. And I dialed my wife and I put her on speakerphone. I said, you're with both of us now, doc. I'm sorry. And he was talking to her and she was grilling him. And I was just sitting there like along for the ride. I was like, look, I don't know. I feel pretty good. I don't know what all this is about. So it turned out to be nothing. Right. And he was cool. He's like, yeah, it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. We have to listen to these dopes.
Why?
Make these rules.
And that's what I always said. Why?
Right.
Exactly. Why are you
listening? Work for a big system, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to dance. When the big system says, plays a tune, you got to dance. That's the problem. We've talked about it 1,000 times. That's the problem with what's going on here. You don't have these docs who run their own shop and they carry little black bags and they have extra hours and things like that. And, the way the medicine used to be, no, it's way, way, way different now.
Let's game that out. Let's game that out. Now that the CMS mandate stays and anybody, you know, taking Medicaid and Medicare money has to be vaccinated.
Let's wipe them out. We want to wipe them out thanks to the Supreme Court.
So,
just real quick, the absurdity of it. Oh, if you're a working age and you're paying taxes, we want you to keep doing that because we're losing a lot of working age people. But if you're old and you're on the rolls, God damn it, we need you to take as much poison as you can. I mean, it's how fucking transparent is it about what's going on here? It's
exactly. So how long before, and I wonder if this will happen again in the new age of medicine. Now this pandemic has, you know, spurred up some new ways of medicine. You know, these pharmacies are going to turn into, because nobody's going to have that personalized doctor anymore. We've discussed that. So are we going to see doctors say, you know what? Not going to be a part of a big conglomerate, and I'm not going to take Medicare or Medicaid. And then this way, that could free them up for having unvaccinated staff. Will they forego that? Exactly, because if a lot of the Medicare, Medicaid age are dying off, or they're killing them off, so to speak, and there still is a lot of people out there without insurance, and they're not getting insurance because they're not even using the industry anymore. They don't trust them.
Well, I mean,
why should I pay for insurance? I'm not going to go to the doctor because I don't trust them.
Let's talk about School of Hard Knocks. I mean, if you, you know, my mom and growing up and stuff, there are times when we didn't have any insurance. If it comes down to food and heat versus insurance, well, guess what? Insurance goes out the window. You might be a month or two late on your car insurance. You might opt out to have no health insurance, and that's one of the first things to go. So
absolutely.
People out there saying, well, there's only a few million without insurance. That's before all this started. What happens
when you
put people's finances into a vice and you continually squeeze it every day? You're not going to come out with the same thing.
Well, a lot of people dropped it in that, what is it? The government site, the Obama site, where everybody goes to, where you can pick your insurance coverage. Well, okay.
It's 40% more than if you could get it privately, but let's keep preying on the lower socioeconomic folks.
Right. So they give the subsidy, right? They give you the big fat subsidy and wherever
maybe,
that goes.
Maybe you get it. You might
get maybe. It. Right. So those that are paying for that, every month the subsidy goes to the insurance company, right?
Yeah.
You're not even using the product. You're not using it all, but you're paying whatever your small percentage of the fee is. You're paying that. So they're getting that. They're not using the product is what I'm saying. The money is going out the door. The government subsidy in your name, they're allocating. And so whatever your small percentage is, but you have a big fat deductible that most people could never afford to pay.
It's massive deductible.
Right, that's
and if you get really sick and end up in the hospital, you're fucked.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no coming back.
So what they've done is they scared people again into getting, okay, you have something. You have something. And it's only going to cost you $100 or whatever, $200, $100 a month. And the government's going to pay $6, $7, $8, whatever they allocate for that plan. Because I think they have it chunked down into categories, and you pick the plan that's best for you. So yeah, you're paying every month. The subsidy is being paid on your behalf every month, but yet you're not using it because you cannot afford this $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 deductible. So who's benefiting?
Pretty good scheme.
Wonderful scheme.
Fantastic.
Wonderful scheme of government.
Ways.
Oh, it's fantastic because most people feel, again, that false sense of security. Well, it's only costing me $100 a month, and at least I have something if I get hit by a bus.
Huh? Well, you were hit by a bus when John Roberts pushed this through the Supreme Court quite illegally and quite unconstitutionally. Right. He was the bus that opened things up for, like, there wouldn't even be the premise of vaccine mandates if it wasn't for John Roberts and Obamacare. So you understand when people say, oh, you give the government an inch, they want a mile. Well, you just had an exercise in that.
Right.
And it's not over
yet.
But
they have to do this. They have to do this because the systems were collapsing anyway. So they start these things out to almost run cover for it.
It's a Ponzi.
And everybody.
Yeah. You see this.
Everybody hoots and hollers, John Roberts, John Roberts, John Roberts, John Roberts might not have had any choice but to do that.
Well, you know, when you look at, there's a school of thought out there with some of the folks I used to work with on Wall Street at Citi. And I talk about these guys a lot because they're just so knowledgeable. And they're not really high on morals either. That's
Imagine
not why
that.
I talk about them. But they just
Imagine
don't
that.
Fucking care about these things that we care about. And so it's a very interesting contrast. But you see this play out time and time again. Let's talk about Citigroup. I fucking lost my train of thought. Can you believe it? I'm losing my shit. What the hell are we talking about?
Same thing's happening. Where I said John Roberts may have had to do that because the systems were collapsing anyway.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I talk all day long, so sometimes I have these momentary
I'm with you.
Lapse of reason. So the system's going to collapse anyway. And Roberts, I lost it again. Oh, I got it back. I'm a fucking man. Here we go. So there's a school of thought. People can think I'm losing my mind. There's a school of thought out there that the reason for this entire scheme partially was because the U.S. economy was on the verge of collapse.
That's
the
right.
Stock market was on the verge of collapse. The oil markets were on the verge of collapse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so they ushered this in, quite a little plan. And and some of the folks at Citi that I associate with and still associate with, that's their philosophy. So they had to do something. Mm-hmm. This whole bitch was going to come tumbling down. And not just here, especially in the UK. The UK is already broke. They've stolen all the money. They fleeced all the fucking, the equivalent of Social Security in the UK and elder care money and Medicare, Medicaid, the equivalent in the UK is gone. They stole all the money. They fleeced it. They're bankrupt.
I actually was leading you right into talking about that.
Well, it only took me 2 hours to remember where the hell I was going with it.
No, it did not. But yeah, this is why I'll play Jen and we can circle back. This is why the hard hitting questions. I'm going to circle back to the reason why these fake grillings, you know, with Congress, that they can never ask the hard-hitting questions because they have to keep the scheme going. They all know.
Just think of what a devastating blow it would be to the Pelosi household if the stock market collapsed.
Oh, God, could you imagine?
So they have to pump it up. They have to keep it going because this is what these people live for. This is all they got. Yeah. You know, a lot of these guys are completely loaded. We don't understand. You see them on TV and they're dopes. They're worth $110 million, $120 million, you know, even more. And you're like, wait a minute. How did these guys?
Right.
What?
And see, these power brokers, they know what schemes are going to work. We've talked about this in the past before, the predictive programming, because of the years now that they've been gathering our data. They use it, you know, for politics and voting. They use it for our shopping habits. They use it for everything, especially the psychology end of it. And, you know, now I'm starting to see people that never even really understood what predictive programming is. And now, you could even go back and find a show that's maybe 5 or 6 years old, and now the people are seeing it, where they're using technology. I forget, there was this show on where the actor runs some kind of mock trial, how they pick jurors out. And then they go
it's
in a room.
Bull.
That's the one. Yeah. That's the one.
I know dudes now, like that, and we used to help pick juries. And we did we did work for Robert Kardashian. My group did work for Robert.
Okay.
So now the OJ imagine, trial and stuff like that. I mean, we had our fingers in everything. So, and we did a lot of background on the, when a jury was selected. People don't understand. The jury is selected for something like an OJ trial.
Mm-hmm.
What some of the defense attorneys do to figure out every fucking thing about those people. And of course, some of the opening statements, closing statements, and then the things that happen in between on the floor of the courtroom are tailor-made for certain jurors. Taylor said to try to appeal to them, to try to get a rapport going with these people. And it's big business. We were paid a lot of money a lot of different times.
Now, okay, so now that was back then. Now imagine how easy they have it now with the technology at their fingertips. And they'll even use wording, like laughing about it. About, oh, this one does this and this and this and this. They're very gullible. They can't even hang up on a telemarketer. So they basically know what kind of schemes that they can get away with the majority of the public. This data has been studied. They can get away with just about anything without the masses questioning and saying, hey, why aren't you asking these questions? Why aren't you holding, you know, Fauci's feet to the fire and making him ask these scientific questions about this air quote virus or the PCR test or blah, 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 blah. They just let it happen. And we're 2 years in and all of the theft of wealth is being robbed right under our noses. And there is nothing we can do about it because they know what they can get over on us. And like somebody was talking to me today and, you know, it's the same old, same old, same old, same old. You know, what's it going to take? What are the people waiting for? Well, I'm tired of hearing that. And I said, you know what? This isn't going to be popular to say, but when are the people going to have their left roll moment? This plane is going down, baby. And if there's not going to be.
Never was a left roll moment.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm using that as a statement,
go ahead.
That, you know, if we're thinking in that mindset that this plane of a country is going down, meaning you're not going to have anything to lose anyway, the whole thing collapses, then there has to be a let's roll moment at some point. But if everybody's just going to sit down and take it, well, then stop talking about it because it's happening every day just because we have one small win. And still, see, the federal government can't tell the private sector now to mandate the vaccine. But that's still not going to stop the private sector if they want to mandate a vaccine in their place of employment.
Well, don't worry about the let's roll moment. The World Economic Forum is concerned and spreading this concern to their members, which are mostly global leaders and movers and shakers of the highest degree, according to a new survey from the World Economic Forum. There's a fastest growing threat to the entire planet that makes COVID look like a popsicle stand. That is, according to Schwab and his wing monkeys at the World Economic Forum, the possibility, the growing threat that social erosion and this whole thing could come unwrapped, and therefore the folks at the World Economic Forum, all their money and all their scheming and their planning, as I said just in yesterday's show, that the rich people can grow rich and they can even grow richer from the misery out here that they've created. But if the whole thing fucking blows up, all of it's for naught. There's only so many places you can run and hide. And
right.
And Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum, that lesson has not been lost on them. Survey just came out. They are worried about it. They are worried about the shit hitting the proverbial fan.
Well, Catherine Austin Fitz had said that last year on your show.
Yeah.
That Mr. Global, as she likes to say, they do worry and anticipate that there could be glitches in their plan. This is why if you go back, I mean, let's go back to the 70s with a lot of these studies that were done, the Global 2000, et cetera, and preparing for the future, Agenda 21. They do take advances, so many steps forward, and then they'll take so many steps back. It does not mean that everything comes to a screeching halt. Like, for instance, you know, I talk to people in construction and different things, and we talk about these things because they don't understand the fourth industrial revolution and really what that means. Well, who are they going to get to do this? And who are they going to get to do that? Well, you can go right on YouTube and Google 3D printed houses. And in 24 hours. They're whipping them up.
Yeah, 50 grand. You can get a pretty good house for 50 grand. They bring it on the back of a truck. They unfold it like it's origami. Hey, yep. What the fuck? How did they?
There's a whole community in California. Right.
They whip it right up. Yeah.
They're pods. They're science fiction, ugly little pods.
Yeah, but they got a roof and they got heat.
And that is, this is how they married into the schemedemic, the climate agenda, okay? Because this is all about sustainability. Less is more. You downsize, you have the tiny house movement. Well, then you'll have the pod movement where we grew up in a world where the American dream was, you know, the 3-4-bedroom house and the white picket fence and the swimming pool in the backyard. Oh, well, now you're just a horrible consumer. You're a horrible consumer and you're using too many resources. So now you need to live in this little 300 square foot, whatever, and be thankful. You now have a roof over your head and some heat and some water. And
you'll be thankful for what we give you, you creature. Now be gone and good day.
Right, but they're going to make you think that that was your decision, okay?
This is the whole thing I just read to you.
Mm-hmm.
The World Economic Forum, they put out this study, and then in this study, they cite that there's a critical threat to the world across all time spans, short, medium, and long term. And much of it is because of these cretins who, these barbarians who stormed the Capitol on January 6th of last year, these Trump cretins. And it goes on, it cites that, it cites these things. And you're like, wait a minute, would they be able to lay out all these plans without January 6th? What is going on here? I tell you, the civil society is crumbling, and it's these divergent forces in the attack on the U.S. Capitol. I mean, and so it all points to, hey, there's going to be 51, what's it say? I'm reading this on the fly, so pardon me what I usually do. 51 million people are projected to live in extreme poverty by 2030. And so this erosion is lurking, folks, and we need to do something about it. We need small houses, and we need to stuff these people into pods and convert to hotels into apartments and get rid of these people. We can get them in a little area where we keep an eye on these cretins, and this is what they're doing. And that's all.
Well, they're going to be able to do it with the hotels, because with people not being able to travel and the virtual reality becoming more of a reality, there's going to be no need for people to travel the same way they like shopping from home. You know, they don't need to go to hotels anymore. You know, they could just go to any vacation spot they want in their virtual reality. This is the world that they're building. This is the world that they're coding. It's there. You can go find it. But when you look at what they've done to us, okay, well, now we're the evil consumer. The elite have become elite. Because they created the products that we consume.
Yeah.
Now that we're consuming them, we're the evildoers. And you can't have that big house. And you can't have all this. You need to whack down your carbon footprint. And you need to do this. And you need to do that. Because that's where they're moving. So, again, they may take a few steps back. but it won't be for long because, again, Agenda 21 was written in 1992. So you see how long it takes them to advance.
Well, Schwab started this whole thing in 72.
Yeah, around 72 before that's the Club of Rome. You've got to go back and look at the Club of Rome and understand that nobody knows anybody.
How dare you mention the Club of Rome? I mean,
they're very protective.
That is my club. Yep. You will never be allowed. Look what it says here. It's not just domestic either. Social fraying endangers global populations as a sense of disenfranchisement grows in large swaths of the world, especially amid a lack of collaboration among powerful governments, which have largely failed to help developing nations crawl out of the pandemic, resolve humanitarian crises, or fight natural disasters wrought by climate change.
Right. And look how they live in California. Yeah. You know, the rolling brownouts, and you can't use your water on this day, or you can only shower or do your laundry. I mean, that's how California is a big old test case on that.
Look what they do, though, Maria, the World Economic Forum and the Fauci's being a loyal puppet to Bill Gates, who subscribes to all this insanity. And it's a gloomy flowchart here. The WEF reports a list of possible offspring of social cohesion erosion, which is what we're seeing. Youth disillusionment, social security collapse, livelihood crisis. Pair that with mental health deterioration, another side effect of the pandemic, and it gets even scarier. All of those could come as a slow burn with fallout covering the next decade. So let's create the crisis. A massive humanitarian crisis and a global crisis. And then we swoop in. We see this. Let's put our capes on and swoop in. And we have a solution here. You cretins will just listen. And this is what we're dealing with. They fucking created this.
Well, getting back to what you were saying you did with the jury selection and fast forwarding here into the future with what they can do with that high tech data analytics. They know what they can get away with. You can be the best puppet master on this planet with that kind of data. They know what they're doing. They know, they knew when it was their time to strike.
Well,
you know,
the
information's out there.
Yeah, a lot of this has to do with economics, right? If the economy's not going well, the Justice Department is famous for this. If they want to take you on and you get indicted and you have some kind of war chest or something to fight them, they'll put the squeeze on your war chest. So if the economy's not doing well and people are struggling, what better time to strike?